Our guest during this first half hour of the program is on the road this winter conducting a series of meetings for agricultural producers on the part of K-State Research and Extension into two areas of vital importance to virtually every agricultural producer out there, lease law and fence law. And we'll take both of those topics up right here with Forrest Buehler joining us, the staff attorney with Kansas Agricultural Mediation Services based here at Kansas State University. Forrest, need to understand what a lease is by definition, first of all, you say.
Well, it's kind of important to understand it as a contract for exclusive use of land for a specific period of time. The courts have characterized a lease as a sale of that land for the period of the lease. Now, that's kind of important because basically you're selling all of your ownership rights to the tenant. That kind of comes into play, for example, and one thing that often comes up in rural settings is hunting rights. Transferring a full lease to a tenant, you may lose those hunting rights simply because it is a transfer of all your ownership rights for that period of time. So it's kind of interesting definition that way.
And folks may not realize that it's that absolute, actually.
That's true. And if you want to preserve those rights, then it's important that you need to put that in writing and make sure that it's clear between you and the tenant what those rights are.
And that leads to the two common types of leases we find in Kansas as far as agricultural property goes, the oral and the written lease. And they are not one and the same.
No, they're not. Oral simply means that by word of mouth and a shake of the hand, you've leased your property. Written, you do a formal document that sets out what those rights are. A lease does have to be in writing if it is for a period that cannot be performed within a year or less. And so multi-year leases must be in writing. But oral leases don't have to be in writing if they are for a year or less. Another thing to understand about that, too, is if you decide to go with an oral lease, there are Kansas statutes that automatically become part of that lease that you need to know about. For example, in an oral farm lease, your lease tenancy would be from March 1st to March 1st, unless you otherwise agree. And there are other rules that will come into play, too, that we can talk about later as well. But that's an important thing to remember about an oral versus a written lease.
If it is an oral lease or verbal lease, you have been touting at these meetings that there's room for improving those, guessing that one of those is actually get it in writing.
That's right. That's kind of an important thing. Put it in writing. It's also important to pay attention to lease payments and possession. What's going on? Keep track of your tenant and vice versa. Maintain records of that lease relationship. You know, if you get into a court battle over a farm lease, the more records that you have of current things going on and how you've kept track of it will bolster your case with respect to that lease. Address financial fairness. Be certain that, you know, you're treating your tenant fairly and that you are also, as a landlord, getting the correct amount of rent based on the current values in your particular area. K-State has Ag Manager Info, has a lot of good information on leasing, leasing forms, and ways that you can calculate that fairness. And just maintaining communication is the final point. That's so important because otherwise you just don't know what's going on your land. And sometimes we see that with absentee-type landowners where they really don't know, and it's important to maintain that communication.
Those are really good guidelines, no matter what kind of lease you might have. When it's a written lease, yes, it's down in ink, but it could be subject to interpretation if that lease is not just utterly clear, could it not, Forrest?
That's correct. What the courts look at, the primary rule is for interpreting a written lease is that the court is going to look to the party's intent. The way they do that is they look at the written lease first to see whether they can glean from that the intent of the parties. It's called the four corners rule. They'll look at that piece of paper in the four corners and see what they can find there. So it's very important that you make it clear in that. It's only if the written lease is not clear that they will consider any negotiations that you may have had in advance of that written lease or other side agreements that you may have had that were done without putting them in writing. So it's very important to understand those rules so you make sure that your written lease is accurate and correct and will be enforced.
You bring up lease termination. There are some definitive ground rules here in Kansas by which that termination should occur. And you're emphasizing this during these meetings because as one looks at the calendar, the clock will be ticking soon on that termination deadline.
That's right. It's one of those statutes that set out rules for termination where you don't have a written lease. Mm-hmm. And those rules will be put into place unless you have a written lease that says otherwise. When these rules come into place, there's always questions about it. I must get about 10 to 20 questions a year about leases and oral leases and how to terminate them. So it's important to understand these. But I always ask, have you had a written lease in the past? Because that's very important. Even though you may not have renewed that lease by getting another written lease, it's a holdover tenancy that will continue after the end of that lease. And so if you continue to farm the ground for the landlord after that written lease is over, basically, and the landlord consents to that, that's a holdover tenancy, and you will still be bound by that written lease. So it's important to know whether you've even had a written lease in the past, even though that may have been several years ago. But if you haven't had a written lease, then there are certain rules that apply to oral leases here in Kansas. To terminate it, an oral lease in Kansas, you must give written notice to the tenant at least 30 days prior to March 1st of each year. If you do, then the lease can be terminated and the tenant will not be able to farm it that year. There are special rules, however, for fall-seeded grain crops. If a tenant has planted wheat or if a tenant has prepared ground to plant wheat in conformance with normal practices in the area, and the notice is given after that occurs, then the tenant will be able to harvest that wheat next year, even though the lease would terminate technically. So the lease itself will terminate on March 1st, but Kansas law says that you will be able to harvest that wheat next year as long as you do it by August 1st. So it's important with fall-seeded grain crops to know when those crops are planted or when the ground has been prepared to plant that fall-seeded grain crop so that you know what your rights are as a tenant and what your rights are as a landlord if you want to terminate that lease. There's even a Kansas case that has interpreted that rule and said that if notice is given under an oral lease before the ground is prepared to plant wheat or before the ground has been planted to wheat, then you can actually prevent the tenant from planting wheat in that respect. And so those kind of rules come into play, and you need to be very careful how you handle those and understand them.
And one other angle here before we need to take a break, Forrest, and that is when a tenant is in arrears on their rental payment, what latitude the landlord has to terminate that lease or act in some fashion. What does Kansas law say there?
Basically, if the tenant doesn't pay rent, then the landlord can terminate the lease without all the other rules that we've talked about by simply giving the tenant 10 days notice and saying, if you don't pay the rent, the lease will terminate. Now, that does give the tenant the ability to pay the rent within that 10 days and continue on with the lease. But that's a rule also that helps the landlord in that respect to spur the tenant on to make that rent payment. There's also different rules for collecting rent. If you don't pay that rent on time, the landlord can do different things. One, the landlord will have what's called a statutory lien by statute for rent on the crop that's growing on the land under the farm lease. It also extends if the tenant sells the crop from that land to someone else who also has notice of the lien that's been placed against it, you can recover that money from that person to whom the crop is sold. So it gives you some things to do there in order to meet those requirements under the statute. But it's an option that you have to try and collect the rent that's owed from the grain that the farmer harvests.
Lease law in Kansas, applying to crop ground, to pasture ground, it can be involved. And it's important to have your attorney involved in these discussions and to perhaps help craft a leasing arrangement that'll cover all the contingencies.
That's correct. And also, if you start to use some of the things like the statutory liens, if they aren't done correctly, you can really get into some more significant problems than what you originally had to begin with. So an attorney is very important for that process.
Forrest, if you would stand by for just a moment. Forrest Bueller is the staff attorney with the Kansas Agricultural Mediation Services office here on the Kansas State campus.